do you expect to hear anything from the Trump campaign about toning down the rhetoric, toning down the violence, or would that be atypical of the former president?
Well, Alex, remember back to the assassination attempt on President Trump's life and how, you know, there was talk of a new tone. And then the Republican convention was, by Trumpian standards, muted. And it did seem like he was, you know, just trying to take it down a few notches. But then by the end of his convention speech, you know, we were kind of back to where we started. So I don't know how long this could, like, you know, this moment of unity for the country where we come together and we say, I don't want any political opposition to be under threat of violence. It's not okay, any threat of violence, you know, we don't want. I would love for us to have a unity type moment, but I think it's probably going to be pretty fleeting, as we've seen in the past.
Alex Witt and Elise Jordan on MSNBC doing the equivocal, she was asking for it, analogy there with Donald Trump not doing his part in toning down the rhetoric, which is resulting in a second attempt on his life. Wow. The media today. Joe Concha.
Oh, watch out, know, Joe.
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
You know, when I'm watching the media reaction to this second attempt, my immediate thought was, I got to go see what Joe Concha is tweeting. And you were right on it, Joe. Welcome back to the show. I guess we expect this stuff right now, but shouldn't we be throwing a fit about the way the media is reacting to this second attempt?
We've seen this movie. We saw it in July after Butler, Pennsylvania. We're seeing it again. They're going to blow right by this coverage, and no one's really going to do the investigative work that this absolutely demands. The investigation should be asking the following questions. Has the Secret Service been infiltrated by bad actors out of Iran, for example? I'm reading Susan Crabtree, Real Clear Politics, solid reporter, and she reported back in August that, let's see, long-standing concerns about Iranian infiltration of key U.S. protective agencies has intensified in recent weeks in the wake of the mid-July assassination attempt of former President Trump. She goes on to say that there may be Iranian intelligence assets within the Secret Service. Now, why should we ask that question? Because I keep going back to this. I was on the Big Weekend Show last night. I asked it then. I'll ask it for your audience. How did this gunman know that Donald Trump was even going to be there?
Yes.
Because it wasn't on his public schedule. And you say, well, he was golfing at Mar-a-Lago. Of course, that's an easy thing to guess. No, there is no golf course at Mar-a-Lago. He golfs at two golf courses down there, one in West Palm Beach at Trump International, and he has another property in Jupiter, which is less than 20 miles away. They're about equidistant. And he plays them, kind of goes back and forth because it is kind of boring to play the same course over and over again. So, but how does the gunman know that? How does the gunman get across a highway median with a rifle, then get across this large grassy field, and then is able to perch himself right at the sixth hole as Trump is about to leave the fifth? You have to have inside knowledge in order to do that. Those are way too many coincidences. And if this were a one-time thing, maybe I wouldn't be asking this question with such vigor. But after what we saw in Butler, where they send Trump out onto that stage knowing there was a threat out there, and then a 20-year-old outflanks the entire Secret Service and gets on the one building that had line of sight to Trump. So after a while, I'm well past incompetence at this point, and I'm in a much darker place, and it's not good, and it's up to our media, in addition to the FBI and to Congress and whoever else would investigate this sort of thing, to be asking these questions and following the facts. Because if this is a conspiracy, if it is Iranians actually dictating these assassination attempts, well, they're not going to stop, and eventually they will be successful.
Yeah, it's scary to watch, and we don't want to believe these types of things to be possible. But the second attempt, it makes things a little more clear for people. The charging documents for the gunman say agents requested T-Mobile on an emergency basis to provide law enforcement with information pertaining to his mobile phone usage. Those records indicated that his mobile phone was located in the vicinity of the area along the tree line from approximately 1:59 a.m. until approximately 1:31 p.m.
Yeah.
The heads up notice on something like this demands answers on how that could be possible.
And it's like an episode out of 24, right? I mean, like these are things you've stated it perfectly before, that if you told me this even a couple of years ago, that all these things would be happening, I would say you're crazy. No, there's no way. You know, the Secret Service, more than anything else, you probably have complete trust in. And I do. The people that protect Trump, you know, that are with him, I've met. You know, I flew on his plane a couple of months ago when he had a Wildwood rally. I was covering it, and they offered me a ride, and it beats the middle seat of JetBlue. So you take that offer, believe me.
Yes.
But I spoke to some of the agents then, and they're just like rock solid. So I'm not blaming them. And obviously, they were able to scare off this guy by seeing that barrel coming out of the bushes. So yeah, that's great work on the ground. But somewhere within this organization, somebody's given someone a heads up on where Trump's going to be. And if you had that knowledge in advance, that's 95% of the work right there. And oh, by the way, Ryan Roche, the suspect, he's not even from Florida. So how does he know the land so well? Right?
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like that's not an Uber. There's definitely something that's going on there. How does he get that rifle? How does he get that information? All of this is stuff that requires answers. And instead of asking those questions and demanding those answers, we hear pundit after pundit right now on a lot of the predictable media types saying, well, you know what? Donald Trump, his tone, it's been a problem. We've told him he needs to tone it down. So are they saying that he's getting what he's asking for here?
Oh, he's wearing too short of a skirt, right?
Yes.
Wore a short skirt. Yeah. Had it coming. He's the one asking for this. Lester Holt. Look, I get I'm going to see that sort of crap on like MSNBC. But on NBC News last night, it's just a couple hours after an assassination attempt. I'll quote Lester Holt. Quote, today's apparent assassination attempt comes amid increasingly fierce rhetoric on the campaign trail. Mr. Trump, his running mate, J.D. Vance, continue to make baseless claims about Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio. Okay. So what that does for starters, whether the dogs are being eaten or not, and Trump shouldn't have gone down that road during the debate, but because we just don't know. Right? If you don't know, don't go with it. You very easily could go with the argument, which would have stood up just fine, that in a town like Springfield, Ohio, which had 60,000 residents, well, now they've added 20,000 Haitians to that population. Basically, 25% of the population are now Haitians, and it's affecting quality of life in terms of crime, in terms of driving accidents, in terms of XYZ. He makes that point. We're not talking about it again. But to that point, though, what's hateful about that? What exactly is, you know, how do you put it again? That fierce rhetoric. The fierce rhetoric comes from the left. I mean, that's what I've seen as far as Trump is Hitler. I mean, you remember Brian Stelter had a guest on his show on CNN, and the guest said that Trump has killed more people than Stalin, Hitler, and Mao combined. And then people called out Stelter for it, and he's like, oh, well, my audio went out the time. I didn't hear him say that. Oh, shut up. You're the worst liar. I swear, you're not good at this. So, as far as like Trump's rhetoric has led to this moment, no. That's not it at all. What's led to this moment could be something far, far worse, far darker, and that is Iranians or some sort of bad actors infiltrating our intelligence agencies and trying to take out the guy they know would be infinitely tougher on them than Kamala Harris could ever dream of being.
Yeah, you're spot on. Joe Concha speaking with us right now. Appreciate having you on to talk about this today. I don't know what the American people's natural reaction is. Everybody, there's polls. We can look at polls, and I don't really believe polls with too much faith. They're just kind of interesting to watch trends over the course of time. But, you know, I got to think that there aren't a lot of Americans out there that think that there is any justification on attempting to take Donald Trump's life. And with the immediate responses to this second event going straight to criticisms of Donald Trump's tone, that's got to be off-putting for anybody who hasn't had their mind made up for 8 years already.
But that's right. I mean, I keep hearing about independent voters or undecided voters. It's as far as like the way Trump performed at the debate, the pressure was on Kamala Harris, I thought, because we don't know who she is. She had to define herself, or at least tell us, hey, what is your policy on inflation or taxes? We never got any of that, right? She didn't answer one question. And then we see, obviously, ABC News, 5 fact checks of Donald Trump, 0 of Kamala Harris, 6 follow-ups of Donald Trump, 0 of Kamala Harris. And I don't know how much you've been paying attention to this particular affidavit that's come out recently,
yes.
Annie. And look, I don't know whether it's true or not. All right. I just don't. The sourcing, you know, I think the guy's name is Black Insurrectionist on Twitter. This isn't coming from, you know, Bloomberg or, you know, Real Clear Politics or something. This is, you know, we don't know. But the affidavit, what I do know is, yes, it was written and signed on September 9th. That was the day before the debate. And everything the guy predicted about the debate, in other words, what he said he knew from within ABC as an employee, that they agreed not to fact check Kamala Harris. They agreed not to ask her anything about Joe Biden's health and her cover up of it. They all came true. So I'm just putting that out there that if that is true, and I'm putting a big if around
sure.
that, I want to, the guy says he has tapes. I want to hear the tapes. The tapes are true. ABC News is finished as an organization. And then Kamala Harris, I think, is finished as a candidate because it'll show that she had to cheat to win that particular debate. And it was obvious that she was a lot more composed than she normally is. And you have to ask yourself, why was that?
You know, you just got to ask yourself, Joe, and you do this on a regular basis. You call this out, especially on X, with regularity. But there are no instances where the oopsies or the finger on the scale in the system where it leans to Donald Trump ever. And it is mind-blowing to me. The negative coverage, it's like 95% negative coverage for Donald Trump and like 89 or 90% positive for Kamala Harris. That Donald Trump still manages to cut through in a lot of these polls is actually winning even potentially the popular vote, that his policies, there's something about this man that is still popular enough under all of this protest from the people who are supposed to be advocating for the voter and for truth, regardless of whom it helps, that Donald Trump still manages to cut through with the support that he has.
It's amazing because he's consistent. You know, he's not a flip-flopper like Kamala Harris is. He's not saying anything to get elected like she is at this point. And you just know the brand. I mean, you could like the guy or not like the guy in terms of his personality. The very basic question that this election comes down to, and it's a very easy contrast binary choice, were you better off when Trump was president or were you better off when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were in office? And if enough people in the right states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia, if they ask themselves that question and they say, all right, I don't really like Trump's personality that much, but for my family, for its safety, for its prosperity, I felt better when Trump was in office than he wins this election. You see polls now with Kamala Harris with a slight lead, but I think Trump supporters are vastly undercounted, and we've seen it in every election, right? Like Joe Biden was up by 8 points at this stage of the election, and he won by a whisker.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton was up even more, and she lost. So I read polls now, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if it means anything. Now, all of that said, Annie, and then I know we got to go, but I think Trump should do one more debate, but do a town hall.
That's what I said. Yes.
Demand it be on Fox because you could trust the moderators there. And then by and large, just the audience will be asking most of the questions. And that's how it should be. Right. So
that's what
he should do.
Yeah. Connects the candidate with the voters. And I want to see what Kamala Harris looks like talking to voters. Absolutely.
Yeah, she won't agree to it, though.
Yeah.
In 1,000 years, she will not agree to it. I mean, think about this for a second. She apparently has all this momentum coming out of this debate. And she still won't sit down with, like, The View or Rachel Maddow? Like, really?
Yeah.
They're that scared? No. This is the strategy going forward. So, yeah, if she agrees to a debate, it'll only be, like, with, okay, but only on NBC. No.
Mm-hmm.
You don't agree to anything unless it's on Fox, and it's that simple.
Yeah. Amen. That's where the viewers are in the
voters. That's a good point. Yes.
If you want to be seen, maybe now we understand. Joe Concha, thank you. We always love having you.
Bye, Annie.
Bye. See you soon. Fox News contributor. His book is Progressively Worse, Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkey, which is available right now. I highly encourage you read it. It's a really, really good look at the progress, to use a phrase, of the Democrat Party over time and why so many Democrats right now, regardless of whether they're diving into like ultra MAGA supporter, red hat wearing Trump supporters, they're looking at their Democrat Party that they've known and supported in the past and going, this is not for me anymore. Love to have Joe Concha on the show. Let's take a quick break. Ryan Wiggins, birthday boy, coming back in here in the next segment. Let's talk about this YouTube live chat poll. Do you believe that the Secret Service is compromised? What a question to be asking right now. We've got over 230 votes on the poll right now. I need your voice because I'm looking at these results right now and I'm concerned. Go vote. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Channel.